mark 1922, we're in Amacart, the first church we'll visit on our virtual tour in Abbey Leaks and Killarmo Union. Amacart near Culloch Hill, in a quiet enclave yet so near to the motorway, is a small, delightfully ancient holy place with a church that is kind of constructed around a wonderful surviving medieval arch. And I've many memories of going there, but perhaps particularly that after the long lockdown in the spring, the first Sunday we were back, the first service I was at was Holy Communion in Amacart. And as we lived through the long lockdown number two, and I know there was a kind of shorter third one in County Laois, as we live through this particular lockdown, we look forward to emerging from it, to when public worship will recommence, possibly to what we will be able to plan for and do at Christmas. And as long as I live, I think when I pass near Amacart, I'll think of it as the place where the liturgy burst back into flower. So we remember all who worship there. 1922. It was the year of the vote in the Dáil on the treaty. Close, divisive. Some will always say that the majority view should have been democratically accepted and the treaty should have been, as it were, owned by all, even those who had previously resented it. But instead of that happening, there was the split, the exodus from the Dáil of quite a number of its members over the next number of years. And of course, the split became the Civil War, the hardest of all the things to remember during the decade of centenaries. And while this was going on, meanwhile, the new fledgling government had to deal with the paraphernalia of the actual transfer of power from Britain and all their efforts to build the state. They had to print stamps, first of all, overprinting old British stamps, then printing their own. They had to send out people with buckets of green paint to repaint the old letterboxes. There was the question of the establishment of the new and courageously unarmed police force. There was the transfer of the civil service to the new, their new political masters. In the myth, it is extraordinary what the politicians of that time achieved in the most difficult circumstances, and one always has to pay tribute to the government of that time in terms of the sound foundation it laid for the institutions of the state and their resilience. Never to be forgotten, really, while civil war began to rage. One of the most famous incidents that touched the Church of Ireland came at the end of June, when the government forces decided to attack the forecourts, which had been held since April by anti-treaty forces under Rory O'Connor. And the new government had to borrow munitions from the old government, the British forces, in order to bring an end to the occupation of the forecourts. Despite appeals to the occupiers to surrender, they did not give in. The shelling continued, and that led to the destruction of what was then part of the forecourts, the Irish Public Record Office, and so to the loss of priceless records of Ireland's past, right back to the Middle Ages. Perhaps some people, of course, wanted to sit lightly on the memory of that past. But it had a particular impact on the Church of Ireland because our church records, especially pre-disestablishment, were also public records. And an attempt had been made long before independence to call them all in to the PRO, to have them catalogued and stored there. And oddly enough, it was in the non-compliant parishes that didn't get round to sending in their material that the records survived. And this wasn't forgotten during a similar exercise at the millennium, when there was an attempt by the central church to gather in registers from all the parishes of the Church of Ireland and to encourage the parishes themselves to open new books. It wasn't entirely successful. There have been painstaking attempts again and again to reconstruct and to make available digitally some of what was lost in the Public Record Office, particularly by looking at duplicates of documents that would have existed there that would also be found in various repositories in London and in other parts of the archives of the British government, because that was the other end of correspondences between Britain and Ireland concerning many administrative matters. We've learned since 1922 the great importance of records and respect for them, or have we? The National Archives, now in Bishop Street, has a pretty poor budget. We find it hard enough to keep the 30-year rule, which is the point at which government records are generally released for academic and journalistic scrutiny. There are barely enough staff to get them made available there every year, let alone move to a 20-year rule, which in many ways would be a more appropriate aspiration in terms of available information in these times. After what we did in 1922, we should know better about how to cherish the National Archives.